Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in the house of the Lord this morning. Before we go any further, I'd like to invite Cynthia to come forward and do the session summary. It's right on top, and it's in bold, and it's in red, and it's in capitals, so I don't forget it.
I said, don't forget me. All right, so session met by Zoom on Tuesday, January 9th at 7 p.m., and it was a good thing because it was a terrible storm and we got to meet anyways, so it worked out well. Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer and a reading from Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 to 16, which tells us to forgive people when they sin against us, just as our Lord forgives our sins. I am pleased to announce that John Matthews will take on the role of finance chair following the annual meeting in March. John is not new to this role, and we are happy that he has agreed to step into the position again. We are grateful to Keppel Barath for his dedication to this role for these past few years. In 2023, our Presbyterian sharing commitment was $18,500. And I can report to you today that we exceeded our goal, raising $19,026. We also donated $120 to Baldwin House from our Christmas Eve undesignated offerings. The annual report is being prepared for the congregational meeting on March 3rd. If you are submitting a report, please send it to the office before February 4th. And this next session is the Help Wanted ads. It seems to work because we found a finance chair, so I'm going to keep trying it. Please prayerfully consider stepping up to one of these tasks if you can. There is a need for volunteers to help with the offering on Sunday mornings. If you are interested, please speak to Keppel. And I don't think Keppel's not here today, so you can talk to Michelle or Robert or I, or Brenda, or Lise, and Kenny, and Trish, and Chuck, and those are the people who know the job. They know what they're doing, so they can talk to you about what it entails. If you are able to volunteer for an hour on the Saturday prior to a communion Sunday, it would just be an hour on the Saturday prior, it's five times a year, please speak to Brenda Aikman. And finally, we are searching for a volunteer to fill the role of property chair, which is mine right now, starting in March. And so please speak to me if that's something you might be interested in hearing about. Two items of note from the December meeting. First, Session affirmed its position on children at the Lord's table. And we continue to invite children as child communicants to learn about and participate in communion as per the guidance and recommendations that have come out of the Presbyterian Church in Canada. In June of 2024, the SDNG Historical Society will mark the 240th anniversary of the founding of the City of Cornwall. The United Empire Loyalists gathering will take place in Cornwall to help celebrate this milestone. On Sunday, June 9th, we will hold a covenanting service, which will be in the style of the Reverend Bethune. We hope you will mark your calendars with this event. And finally, please join us after the service for coffee hour in the McClellan Room. This special coffee hour is being provided by the Hickey family, and we thank them for their thoughtfulness.
A lot of what I think I was going to say for the announcements was covered in the session summary, but do make note of all of those dates that Cynthia shared with you. We'll get them in the bulletin next week around the annual meeting and the submission of reports for the annual meeting. Also on the screen this morning was the date for the annual meeting of the Women of the Church, which is March the 3rd, so please make note of that and plan to attend. And I think that's probably all the announcements. As we come into worship this morning, we light the Christ candle, visible reminder to us that Christ is the light of the world and that he shines in our darkness and leads us forward. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screen. Let us stand as we come into the presence of the Lord and say together the call to worship. God said, "Let there be light."
And there was light.
God's speech
is God's action.
When God creates,
the creation is good.
God, our Maker, has done it again.
God has brought us to a new dawn. Let us worship God.
And let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give thanks that in baptism you give us new birth. For baptismal waters mark the beginning of life for those who follow Jesus Christ. Inspire us to hear the good news declared at Jesus' baptism, to heed your voice from heaven proclaiming that Jesus is your beloved, and to believe that with Christ you are pleased. Teach us to remember our baptism and to receive the Holy Spirit again and again. Though we cannot earn your pleasure, we desire your grace. Speak to us words of mercy and guide us with your love, that our lives might declare your glory in action, word, and deed. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And our opening praise for this morning is number 118 in the Book of Praise. Morning has broken. Hymn number 118. I apologize, that hymn was nowhere near 118 in the Book of Praise. You can't even claim that was dyslexia. That was just making up a whole new hymn number. Friends, nothing can be hidden from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, whose wisdom is endless, whose mercy is great. Trusting in God's grace, let us come now confessing our sin as we say the prayer of confession as it appears before us. Forming and transforming God, whose Spirit moved over the waters, you have washed us in your mercy, claimed us as your own, bound us in community, and called us to lives of baptismal grace. Forgive us, O God, for we have not lived as if we were your baptized people. We stumble over opportunities for forgiveness. We prioritize our own selfish interests. We are slow to disrupt the status quo, even when it means ignoring our neighbors. Forgive us, O God, and by your forgiveness, lead us back to your waters of transformation. Amen. Friends, those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up and fly like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not grow faint. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, hopefully that's the only problem in the presentation this morning. But you all need to know any errors that happen on the screens are completely mine. Jessica has been out sick this week, and so I've been trying to learn how to do what she does every week. and clearly I'm not as good as she is. So I hope that's the only one that slipped through. Let us come singing our praise as we sing a new hymn, Gather Us In, which is a hymn written by Marty Hagen. Marty is a contemporary hymn writer from the United States and writes wonderfully infectious music. So we will be learning this hymn over the next several weeks. Let us join our voices as you become comfortable with the hymn as we sing Gather Us In. Do you want to come up this morning? Oh, Jake's there too. Good morning. Come on up, guys. Come this way. And Jamie. That's okay. It's always nice to come with friends, isn't it, Raylin? Now, I have a question for you this morning. Do you know what this is? No, you don't. It's got a funny name. It's called the font. Every church has one, or most. Churches have them. Some are big. Some are big enough that you can get right into. This one, not so much. This one's smaller. And what do you think we do at the font? Don't know. Anybody know what we do at the font? we baptize at the font. Now, I think probably most of the people here in the room were baptized at some point. Were you baptized? Yeah. Do you remember it? Remember it well? How about anybody? Is there anybody who does remember their baptism? We have a couple. That's wonderful. Every now and then, we have folks who are baptized a little bit later in life, and so they actually remember what happens. But for many of us, it happens when we're really small babies, and so we don't really remember. But here's one of the things about baptism. Every time we baptize a baby here, we say that we remember our baptisms. Baptism isn't just for the person who comes to the font on any particular day. It's for all of us, all of the time. And we're talking about baptism in worship this morning. That's why we're talking about it here. And sometimes, on special Sundays, we remember our baptisms too. And this is one of those Sundays. Raylin, do you think you'd help me for a minute? No? Yeah? Maybe Jake will. Jake, will you come help me? Help me pour this water. Come back here so everybody can see. And we'll pour this water in, okay? And we'll lift it up so everybody gets to see. There's real water in the font. Thank you. Now, I mentioned just a minute ago that we don't all remember our baptisms, because many of us were very, very small. But baptism is an important part of our faith lives. It's where we start and where God blesses us with the Spirit and says that God will take care of us and take care of us within the context, within the friendships that we form in the church. And one of the days that we celebrate our baptisms is on Baptism of Our Lord Sunday, which is, well, we're celebrating it today because last week we celebrated Epiphany. So we're a little off the calendar with some others, but we're close. But today is our celebration of our baptisms. And so I'm going to invite, the liturgy will appear on the screen, and so I'm going to ask parents, and Jake, you can read along too. I think Raylin, you're going to need some help. But we begin with this question. Why do we baptize? We baptize because Jesus instructed his disciples to baptize, and because Jesus himself was baptized by John in the waters of the River Jordan. Through baptism, we are adopted and welcomed into God's family. These waters we share in dying and rising of Jesus, who washes away all our sins. We are made one with Christ and one with all who are joined to Christ in the church. So let us remember our baptisms and be thankful. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? I do. Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love? I do. Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? I will, with God's help. Hey, very good. With the whole church, let us confess our faith as we say the Apostles' Creed, and I will invite you to stand as we do so. As is the case always when we gather at the font, the creed this morning is in the form of a question and answer. So we begin, do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Once more, let us come in prayer, and the prayer begins with a response that will appear on the screen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks, eternal God, for you nourish and sustain all living things by the gift of water. In the beginning of time, your Spirit moved over the watery chaos, calling forth order and life. In the time of Noah, you destroyed evil by the waters of the flood. You led Israel out of slavery through the waters of the sea into the freedom of the promised land. And in the waters of the Jordan, Jesus was baptized by John and anointed with your Spirit. By the baptism of his own death and resurrection, Christ has set us free from sin and death and opened the way to eternal life for us. We thank you, O God, for the waters of baptism. In it, we were buried with Christ in his death. From it, we were raised to share in his resurrection. Through it, we were reborn by the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we celebrate our fellowship in him in faith. And we pray that all who pass through the water of baptism may continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forevermore. Amen. Friends, let us remember our baptisms and be thankful. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And you may all be seated. And you guys can go down. I think there's some Sunday school this morning. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Saving God, source of our calling, your word is full of power and glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us so that we may receive your grace and live as your beloved children. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Morning. First reading is from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 5. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was complete chaos, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while the wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, there was morning, the first day. Our second reading will be a responsive Psalm 29. Words will be on the screens. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful, and the voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Syrian like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all say glory.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. And our third reading from the New Testament, Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 7. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them.
Let us sing the hymn 385. Yes, 385. Like the murmur of the dove's song, number 385. And our gospel reading for this morning, taken from the gospel according to Mark. We read Mark chapter 1, verses 4 to 11. Let us listen for God's word to his people. John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Over the last couple of years, we've gotten really good at lining up to receive an injection. A new COVID vaccine seemed to come out about every 6 months or so, and promising better and renewed protection from the virus. And then, of course, there's your yearly flu shot that you don't want to miss, and shots now for RSV, respiratory virus. Maybe you get a shot of vitamin B12 because, well, you've reached that age and you need a little bit of that boost. The list of things that get stuck into your arm can be lengthy. And I don't know if you're like me, but I don't like needles. I really, really don't. I don't like getting them. I don't even like watching television when somebody else is getting one. I look away when that happens. So, needless to say, I'm not a big fan of that lineup, but it's a necessary sort of thing, isn't it? So every year, I'm there for my flu shot because I don't want to become ill with the flu and endure a week of miserableness, of aches and pains and fevers and chills that goes along with the flu. Nor do I want to inadvertently carry the flu into a nursing home or seniors facility as I'm going in and out visiting. So I dutifully roll up my sleeve and get the shot because I know I need it. I know that my body on its own may not be able to hold the virus at bay, and I will need the help of an inoculation. As we turn to the story of John the Baptist this morning, we're reminded of all of those encounters in Scripture that we find with John the Baptist, and usually they're difficult. John is a difficult guy in the Bible. And often he's speaking in moments that people would have liked to avoid. Even here in this brief episode that we find this morning from Mark's gospel, there is an air probably of discomfort in John's message. Mark introduces John the Baptist to his readers with these words. John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. It is perhaps the simplest and easiest description of John that we have in Scripture. There's no comparison of anybody to a brood of vipers in this text. There's no winnowing fork of judgment and fire in this text around John. And yet, make no mistake, John's baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins was an invitation to any who took him seriously to acknowledge that they were in fact sinful. And that's not easy. That is always a challenge. To acknowledge that we're not perfect, that we have missed the mark in some way, that so much of what we desire in life we cannot accomplish on our own. And if this is true about the small things, the little petty things that we do each day, then imagine how difficult it must be to accept that invitation that John offered to the people and acknowledge that deep in our very being we have fallen short of God's will for our lives. And yet, I think we also know that that is true too, don't we? Far too often we allow willfulness and pride to prevent us from allowing God into our hearts to become the person that God would have us to be. And yet, this invitation to sinfulness is about the open door of righteousness. As we acknowledge that our own shortcomings and our own need for one who is outside ourselves to guard us and to guide us against all those things that would lead us astray, that we would gain a better perception of what it means to follow a loving God. It's interesting, isn't it, that the lectionary today pairs this gospel lection and John's invitation to accept our sinfulness and come out and be changed. The lectionary pairs this story with the psalm of praise that we just shared together as the responsive reading. Ascribe to the Lord. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor, because the voice of the Lord is over the water. God's glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. And the voice of the Lord is filled with majesty. Certainly, this reading matches the imparting of the Spirit and the voice of God that echoes across the Judean countryside as the Spirit declares that Jesus is the Son of God. But it also speaks of the God that all of us who came into the wilderness longed for, a God that is worthy of our praise. It speaks of the God in whom we place our trust, or we would like to, just like the crowds who went out into the wilderness on that morning. Every time we as a congregation come to the font to baptize a child, we do acknowledge that we are not perfect, that our faith is weak and sometimes difficult to sustain, but that with God's help, we will rise to the challenge. We will rise to the challenge because the God who has shown his majesty and power to generations who have gone before us continue to reach out to us, offering us peace to our troubled hearts and minds. And here at St. John's, perhaps in particular, we are reminded of that generational transference and the generational witness that we experience in our faith and in our baptisms. Because if you were baptized here at St. John's, there is not one of you that was not baptized in that font. If you go to the back this morning and look in the little display case back there, you will see a little card, nicely typed up, probably by Fred, that tells you the history of this font and of the bowl that used to sit inside of it. The bowl is back there, lest we break it and perhaps break covenant with those generations who have gone before us. So we have replaced the bowl, but the font still stands. So every time we come acknowledging that we do not come because of our own. We come because God has called us and generations have sustained that call. And it's into the midst of these searching people, into the midst of us as we do our searching and all of those who have gone before us, people invited to be sinners, to acknowledge their shortcomings and how they have wandered from God, that Jesus comes. In the midst of those who were seeking to turn their lives around, because that's what repentance means, in the midst of those who were seeking to turn their lives around, Jesus appears claiming their need as his own. Jesus, Emmanuel, as we celebrated through Advent, God with us, or maybe slightly more modernized, God just like us, wades into the water to be baptized by John. And dripping wet, he arises from the water and sees God's spirit-laden dove, which assures him too that God is with him. That is, Jesus takes on our humanity and begins the mission that leads ultimately to the cross. In all of its complexity, in all of its shortcomings, God is going to walk alongside of Jesus in his humanity and empower him to fulfill his purpose, to take all of those sins and all of those shortcomings and to put them to death on the cross. Truly, there are no obstacles left for those who come to the Jordan on that day, for Jesus has walked alongside of them. Truly, there are no obstacles left for those of us who come to the font this day, who renew our lives in prayer and reflection every day, because Jesus walks alongside of us. Embracing all of those things that get in our way of truly living as the children of God. For Jesus has joined that line too, and taken all those things from us so that we might see the glory of God and ascribe to him power and might and peace. Thanks be to God. Amen. The earth is the Lord's. Every good thing is a gift from our God. Let us glorify God through the gifts of our lives and labors as we present our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, for every blessing and every spiritual gift that you have poured out upon us. Let the gifts of our lives be a source of blessing in your world, all to the glory of your holy name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of grace, we turn to you in prayer with open and hopeful hearts. We thank you for the work of your church in all its expressions and for all that brings your love, healing, and justice into the world. We pray for churches struggling financially, for churches enmeshed in conflict, for those that are tired and in need of renewal, and for congregations with a new sense of mission and purpose. Give them all wisdom and strength. We thank you for the healing that we have known in our own lives, for times that we have been forgiven, for relationships repaired and strengthened, for comfort in times of grief, for pain eased, and recovery from illness. While COVID-19 still haunts our communities, we pray for those struggling with its lingering effects or fresh infection. And we pray for those working in healthcare, coping with challenges that have no easy solution. Give to each the hope and the courage they need to face this new year. We pray for people around the world who must confront danger and conflict daily, for those working for justice in the face of oppression, and for all who know hunger and homelessness after drought or disaster. Give them hope and courage to face this new year. Strengthen us to serve you, not only with our words, but also with our actions. Help us to see others with your eyes and to reach out with your compassion, especially where differences divide. Teach us how to work together and to show what it means to follow you in changing times. Hold us all in one accord until that time when we celebrate around your throne in grace in heaven. Today we pray for the Hickey family as they mourn the death of David. We give you thanks that he is now in your safekeeping. Keep us all ever watchful for the coming of your kingdom. And until that time, keep us fervent in prayer that your purposes may be fulfilled in this world. Hear us as we pray using the words that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is number 338 in the Book of Praise. Let all things now living, number 338. And now, as Jesus called the first disciples, so he calls us this day, follow me. And beloved children of God, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God this day and forevermore. Amen.